Bible tonight, I'm interested in the book of Hosea, chapter number 6. I am so sorry tonight, and I apologize. I got in the line to get talents and gifts, but I was right behind Dana. He had cleaned them out when I got there. And so what you see is what you get. We thank the Lord for how God has used him and sister all across this country. And we thank the Lord for it. We have been in these days trying to bring you some thoughts on the subject of the Holy Ghost. And bringing to our attention that little thought of brethren, we've met to worship and adore the Lord our God. And all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. We've been in these days just trying to take a little glance at what is the Holy One like. He is such a multifaceted individual. Such a deep part of the Trinity. He's not easily understood nor explained. But we have brought some thoughts that he is like a dove in producing that controlling work of God. Tonight, we want to go a little further in our study. And if we could look at two or three passages. And we want to look tonight that he's like the rain. He's like the rain. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the Holy Ghost can do a lot more than what he's doing. I didn't know if you knew that or not. As far as I know, as I travel across this country, he is not doing what he has done in days gone by. And his hands are not tied. He could, if he wanted to, do strange and mysterious things in this hour. Even in a gully washing type situation. How come? Well, he's like the rain. Of course, if the Holy Ghost comes, he will always manifest Christ. I want us to see tonight that if he comes like the rain, he will manifest the constructing work of Christ. You said, preacher, I thought rain usually tore things down. Oh, that's the only way he'd build anything is if he'd tear down what's already there. I'm finding in this hour that God is doing more unteaching than he is doing teaching. We have had over 100 years foolishness taught to us. Decision-based. God sitting up there wringing his hands, waiting for man to make his move. I'm telling you something tonight. God's not waiting for man to move towards him. If God doesn't move towards man, it's a sunk ship. He's like the rain tonight in a constructing work of Christ. I notice in Hosea chapter number 6, we are confronted here with the types of rain. I thought it was interesting. I guess an accident. I guess a coincidence. That there would be three types of rain. There would be three workings of the Holy Ghost, he said, when the Comforter is come. He will convince men of sin and righteousness and judgment. Here in the text, Hosea says, come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. Oh, Well, that's a strange way to treat people. It tear them up so you can heal them. He says he hath smitten and he will bind us up. He said after 2 days will he revive us. The third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Here we are confronted with the Holy Ghost being like the rain, these types of rain. That first word that is mentioned there, rain, we're confronted in that word there with the work of faith that the Holy Ghost produces. This little word rain here, it is that word for the early rain. That rain that comes between August and December, that pounding, that torrential, that hard rain. Oh, it is that kind of work of the Holy Ghost that we need that would prepare the soil that God could produce something in. Oh, when the preacher preaches on judgment, sometimes we get upset. But it is only the Holy Ghost bringing that hard, torrential judgment of God, trying to turn our hearts towards Him. Many of us have been upset with the tidal wave. I don't know if you realize it or not, but 99% of those people are godless people. God is speaking judgment, trying to turn their hearts towards Him. Didn't know if you knowed it or not. He's fixing the rain on the street near us, trying to turn our hearts towards Him. Hard rain. It is that would produce faith. He must tear down our foundations that we might put all our confidence, all our hope, all our trust in Him and Him alone. Work of faith. But I notice in these types of rain, He mentions in verse number 3 the former rain. Not only do we see the work of faith, but we see the work of feeling. This former rain is that time of rain during December to March when it fills the underground cisterns, fills those hidden places. Oh, I know the weatherman tells us that the water table's low and Mother Nature is being bad to us. I didn't know if you know it or not, God hadn't made any new water since He made the first water. He got in the recycling business long before Al Gore ever thought about it. He's not made any new water. Just keeps bringing the old back around. Rain. This speaks not of the work of faith, but the work of feeling. God feels a person according to their capacity to hold. I was wondering tonight, just being nosy like I am, you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? I was wondering if you ever had an experience with the Holy Ghost. I preached 15 years before I ever had an experience with the Holy Ghost. You say, I thought when you got saved, that's the only experience you ever had with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, you're in trouble tonight if you believe that. I tell you one thing, you're dull and dead if you are. Oh, I remember the night I had an experience with the Holy Ghost. He kicked the bottom end out of me and emptied me of myself. Fill me with Himself tonight. Oh, He'll fill you with the capacity you've got to hold Him. Huh? Every great man that has ever lived from the Puritans on down, they've testified of having an extra experience with the Holy Ghost. You can call it whatever you want to. You can call it a second blessing. You can call it I like that second baptism. You're not going to mess with me by calling it that. Them old boys over in the Old Testament had two baptisms. Oh, yeah, they were baptized in the Red Sea, got them out of Egypt, and they was baptized in Jordan to get them into the Canaan land, and that's what the second baptism is a death to yourself. You listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm talking about He's like the rain, feeling of Him, an experience with the Holy Ghost where He empties you of all of you, fills you with all of Him. Not going to fill you and half of you's in you. You must get out that He might fill. Oh, He's like the rain, work of filling, this form of rain. But I notice in this text, in these types of rain, not only do we see tonight that He is this work of faith, it's hard torrential rain. It must prepare the ground to receive the Word of God, produce faith. Work of filling those hidden cisterns. Need those hidden areas of my life filled. Oh, I can put on a show for y'all. God ain't looking at that. Oh, some of you give up everything. You'd give up ice water if you thought it'd get you closer to God. Huh? You done quit cussing, quit going here and going to movies, quit wearing pants. You still mean as a devil. Huh? Ain't interested in all that stuff. It's interested in the inside of you. Emptying you of yourself, full of ourself. Oh, tonight He wants to empty that so He can fill us. He's like the rain. But here this text says that He's like the latter rain. That is that rain that comes between March and May. It is that rain that has softened the ground so that the seeds can arise. Oh, it is the work of fruitfulness. Oh, I tell you what, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, you'll do less and accomplish more than you've ever done. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, life will not be a struggle tonight. Life will not be one day, woo, ain't God good. Next day, pray for me, I don't know where I'm going to make it. No! You'll take all of those ups and downs away. Life will become a consistent plane with you. Walking in fruitfulness tonight. Talking about the types of the rain. But if you've got your Bible there, another passage that would mention this rain situation. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Only would we bring to you the thought of the types of rain. But could I mention before us tonight the tragedy from rain? Why is there such a lack of the rain of the Holy Ghost in this hour? I don't know why. I'm sorry. But I'm constantly reading these biographies. I've always been into reading the revivals, the Wales revival and the Welch revival. Why, we had a revival there in Athens, Georgia, where I live. In 1940, there was a guy come and set up a tent, 1940 in Athens, Georgia, where the University of Georgia is. They closed the school for 3 months. So many people got saved at the University of Georgia. Is that Holy Ghost dead? Or does He yet live? Where is he at? Why is there such a lack of rain? Of course, if I'm wanting to find out why there's a lack of rain, I might would want to go to the Bible and see if there has ever been a time in history, in Bible history, where there has been a lack of rain. Maybe if I look and find out why there was a lack of rain, then I might could say, duh! Maybe it has something to do with why there is not much Holy Ghost in this hour. Watch the text. We're talking about the tragedy of rain. Could I mention from this text the lack of rain? I'm so sorry. I never had noticed this until this past week. We know the story well. In chapter 17 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these 3 years, but according to my word." How come God led Elijah to cut the rain spigot off? How come there's no rain? How come the Holy Ghost is not moving mightily in this hour? How come God is not falling on our services, falling on our towns, saving hundreds of people? What is wrong? Well, here in this hour, I thought it was interesting. What has caused the rain to stop? You've got the Bible there, chapter number 16. The Bible says, "And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." I was extremely interested in that little word, grove, because it's real close to the passage of Scripture where Elijah turned off the rain. There's no more rain. I was studying this little word, grove. It's an interesting word. It is the Phoenician goddess of Asherah. She was the goddess or the love of increase, or the love of things, or the love of possessions. I wonder tonight, if possible, if we have not fallen in love with our stuff. And he has cut the water off. And most of the time we have services and there's no Holy Ghost. You can talk about how good they were, but I'm telling you tonight, he could do a lot more than what he is doing. Matter of fact, as far as I can see tonight, he ain't doing much. I'm telling you, he could blow this thing out. I've been here, and I'll share that with you at the end of the service because I know a lot of you wasn't here. But I've been here when he fell on this place. Oh, Lord God, did he ever fall on this place in days gone by. Rain. They have made a grove. Of course, you know the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. You know, the world's got a philosophy tonight. They've got a message. And I don't know about you, I'm not testify for you, but I've bought into it before. What is their philosophy? More is better. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can run them credit cards up if you want to. I'm telling you something, you can work 60 or 70 hours a week if you want to try to pay the bills.
But more isn't better. It won't bring the Holy Ghost. It is when there is less tonight and we're more dependent upon Him than upon ourselves. The only reason we've got so affluent, we've got so much money now, that now we've got enough money, we can go to a toe doctor, we can go to an ear doctor, we can go to a back doctor and take a pill for everyone. Why? How does them pills even know where to go? If you didn't have so much, you wouldn't know you were sick. You listening to me? Oh, lack of rain. More is better. It's not so. It's not so. It cut the rain off on Israel. No Holy Ghost. Watch the text though. Notice not only the lack of rain, but in chapter 18, you know the story so well. Verse number 36, there was the letting of the rain. The letting of the rain. Chapter number 18 and verse 33. You remember Elijah made the deal with the Baal prophets. They'd call fire down, or he would call fire down. I thought that was interesting. He says, and he put the wood in order. He made an altar. Hey, what's a wonder? Where did he get that wood? You don't reckon for a chance that he might have tore them groves down to build that altar, do you? There's some of you need tonight to tear down all of your more and become more dependent upon God and less dependent upon yourself. If you want God to come, want the Holy Ghost to fill you tonight, here he puts the wood in order upon the altar. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God and thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell upon the place. What happened when that fire fell? It consumed all that they had been putting their confidence in. Oh, I'm reminded of that story tonight of Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain. Isaac told Abraham, he said, Daddy, he said, we got fire. Where's the lamb? That story's a little different here tonight. We got a lamb, but we ain't got no fire. No fire. Nothing falling on us. We come in here, I can sit right there or sit right back there. And in most Baptist churches, I can tell you what they're gonna do next. Huh? I can go in the bathroom and I can just about tell you from the sounds in there what you're doing out here. But I tell you what, if the fire falls, oh, you'll be doing different things. Different things out here. I'm talking about the letting of the rain. There is the death to all of that they had their confidence in. All the groves are burned up. All their stuff is gone. Here in this text, I thought it was interesting. Verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Putting all of their confidence in Him and Him alone. talking about the lack of rain, the letting of rain. But I notice in this text the liberality of rain. I didn't know if you noticed or not, but it still ain't rained yet. Oh, God's just got them where it will rain. I'm not telling you tonight the Holy Ghost would fall on this place. Oh, no, we've got to get to a place where he could fall. I'm not telling you he would fall after we got to the place where he could fall. They have just gotten to the place where he could fall. Everything has been consumed that they have put their dependency in, their hope in, their self-confidence in. I notice in this text, chapter number 18 and verse number 41. The Bible says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." The Bible says in verse 42, "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees." He is in a helpless, he is in a desperate strait tonight. He wants to see it rain. Boy, I'd love to get in a place where the Holy Ghost would fall. Wouldn't you? Well, there's two or three, that's good. Would you? Oh, there's a couple of more of you woke up. Huh? Of course, you know, I can't blame you. You ain't never been in no rain. So you don't know what you've missed. But I tell you what, if you've ever been around where the Holy Ghost fell, you've ever felt the power of the Holy Ghost, I tell you what, it make you hungry to see it again. Make you hungry to see. I remember the first night I experienced the Holy Ghost. I remember the first thing I said to myself after I woke up. I said, "Lord God, could I do this again soon?" Huh? Oh, I'm telling you tonight, here he is desperate. He prays and asks God to let it rain. Sends that servant over there. Check that sky 7 times. That servant keeps coming back and said, "It's clear and pretty. Ain't a cloud in the sky." He sends him that last time. He says, "Elijah," he said, "I don't know if it means anything." He said, "But there's a little cloud over there." He says, "About the size of a man's hand." He said, "You better make a run for it. It's fixing to be a gully washer." I love what old Arthur Pink said. He said, "Old Elijah raised his hands in such power and prayer. Touched the sky, left the imprints of his hands upon God's sky, and God caused it to rain." Once we have given up our stuff that we're dependent upon, then begin to cry out, "Oh God, interrupt us with your rain. Let the rain fall." I remember several years ago when these boys of mine were young and I could handle them. Now they're big and I can't handle them no more. They can handle me. But when I pastored, we always lived in a rental house. I don't know, I kept moving them all over town 7 or 8 times because I couldn't buy a house, couldn't afford a down payment. Every time we'd move in one, they'd sell it out from underneath of us. We was living in one house that you could watch the curtains blow at night. It was one of those kind, you know, and had the pipes in the ceiling. I don't know what in the world you want to put water pipes in the ceiling for. Especially if you ain't going to insulate them. But for some unknown reason, Brother Bob, it was 5 below 0 in Georgia. Oh, it was unusual. Oh, it was unbelievable. Well, the pipes froze. And they had been froze for 2 or 3 days. Of course, I had never had any dealings with frozen pipes. Well, there was a man come over to the house one night. He had called me before he was coming. He was an old drunk. And I wanted to witness to him. I wanted to share my faith with him, tell him about the Lord. And it was my job that night to keep these 3 boys. They were, I don't know, 7 and 5 or 6 and 4. They was wide open. So I put them in the back of the house. I said, "Don't y'all come out of that door. I said, don't try to witness this man. He's lost. And they all... I put him back there. I'd been talking to him for a good while, and the middle one, that's brother, one closest to him, he come out real cheapishly. And I mean, just real serious. I could tell he didn't want to interrupt me. He said, Daddy, he said, I don't want to interrupt you, but he said, it's raining in the back of the house. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody called you and said, you know, I don't want to interrupt anything you're doing, but it's raining over at Calvary Baptist Church. The Holy Ghost has fell over there. They ain't cut the lights out over there in weeks. I'd be interested, wouldn't you? I tell you what, you've got to burn up all that you're dependent upon besides Him. And begin to cry out to God. Oh, rain come, oh, rain come. Oh, if there's anything tonight, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Could I mention one last little passage of Scripture? And I'm done. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. We're talking about rain tonight. What's the Holy One like? He's like the rain. He comes, He'll produce the constructing work of Christ. In order to build, He's got to tear down. Looked at the types of rain. Looked at the tragedy of rain. Could I mention from this text hurriedly, quickly, and briefly, there is the test of the rain. Test of the rain. I notice in this text in chapter number 7, verses 26 and 27, it's such a familiar story. How many of you here ever sung that little song in Sunday school? None of you? Lord God, where y'all been? Y'all never sung that song? The wise man built his house. Gracious, some more hands went up. Thought I was preaching infidels. Huh? Gracious, we better go back to square one. You've been preaching about that God over there, silver and clay, and I've been preaching all this deep stuff. They ain't never even sung the wise man song. Huh? Wise man built his house upon a rock. Rains came. Floods came. Don't you remember you used to do it like this? You used to do it like that. The floods came up. Rains came down. Floods came up. And the house stood firm on the rock. Rain comes. Why does it come? Test faulty construction. Why does the Holy Ghost bring you trouble? Point out faulty construction. Watch the text. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, I see right away you've got to hear. You know, it seems like to me that our Lord must have preached to an earless society of people. It must have been a whole group of people there in Israel that were born without ears. He was constantly saying to them, he that hath ears, let him hear. You know he wasn't talking about these kind, but he was talking about these kind. You say, preacher, does God talk to you? Yeah, down here. I have heard him with these ears so loud, I thought I was hearing him with these ears. I was wondering, does God talk to you? He never said nothing to me. He only talks to his children. Listening to me? He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, not only must there be hearing, there must be obedience. And it's not obedience in whatever way you think. You must follow the manual in your construction program. He says, and heareth mine, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew it, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I have thought about this years ago, but I thought about it again during y'all's hurricane season. Several years ago, I was up in Wilmington, North Carolina. They had a gigantic Category 4 go through there. And I mean, it wiped out million-dollar homes, made toothpicks out of them. And I remember riding down the beach with the pastor and seeing all these million-dollar homes. I mean, they were just leveling toothpicks. But here's what blew my mind. They were cleaning them up, and they were laying the foundation to build another one. I told the pastor, I said, you reckon they ever sung that song in Sunday school? Duh! They've already started south of here. They're building the back right. Didn't nobody ever sing the song, Tom? You're a fool if you build on sand. It won't stand the test. And you say, oh, that's silly. Lord God, people are doing it everywhere spiritually. They're doing it physically. And then God will send the trouble along. And the sad thing, so many people never connect the dots. They don't realize why they're having trouble, why their life is falling apart, because they are building on sand. Test the construction. But I notice not only does this rain come to test faulty construction, but it comes to testify to a faithful foundation. What's the text? Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Built his house upon a rock. Rain descended. Floods came. The winds blew. Beat upon the house. I love this little phrase. This is my favorite phrase in the whole text. And it fell not. How come? For it was founded upon a rock. You build according to the manual. Let hail belch. Let all the world fall apart. You'll still be standing there when it's over with. I love that, don't you? I'm talking about the types of the rain. Tragedy of the rain. The testing of the rain. When I was a kid, I was just have one brother and myself. Him and I used to like to play church when it was raining outside. Oh, we'd get our seats out, and one of us would preach, and one of us would take an offering. We just went through the whole thing. But somewhere during the service, him or I would say the little poem, rain, rain, go away, come back some other day. You know, I feel like in this hour maybe that little story has been switched. We're interested in the rain going away for sure, so we can play church in here. Oh, I tell you what, if the Holy Ghost falls on this place, there will be no playing church. I remember several years ago, I don't know how many of you remember it. I don't know how many of you was here in these days. I don't know if you were here that night. I know your pastor and his family was here. It was during this Jubilee. I don't remember what night it was. But it was towards the end of the Jubilee. Tom Wagner was here with a girl's children's home. They were all lined up around here, a-singing. And I remember Tom was in the back. He asked any of those girls they'd like to give her testimony. She was standing right here. And she started to give her testimony. And she got about halfway through, and the Holy Ghost fell on this place. Brother Gary, I was sitting right where you was a-sitting, right there. I sat there for over 3 hours. Ain't nobody preached. Ain't nobody sung. I just cried. There was people in here doing weird and mysterious things. They was hugging necks of people that sat on that side, and they tried to avoid them on this side. I'm telling you, something business picked up that night. Oh, if Calvary Baptist, if Antioch Baptist Church, if whatever Baptist church you're going to needs the rain to fall. Oh, I need the rain tonight. I need a gully washer on my life. I was wondering tonight in closing, do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the Holy Ghost? If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Could I ask you tonight, do you desire to have more of the Spirit? The Bible says, Christ speaking, He said, likewise shall my Father give you more of the Spirit if you'll but ask Him. I was wondering tonight, do you desire for the Spirit to have more of you? More of you. I have not given an invitation. It's not been my point in this service to give an invitation. But I just feel led to tonight. I wonder if you'd stand all over the building tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're not going to sing you no song. We're not going to play you no music. I ain't going to twist your arm, try to make you feel good. But maybe you'd just admit to yourself, preacher, I'm so dry. Preacher, I need some rain on my life. Preacher, I need the Holy Ghost to fall on. Maybe you're part of this church or part of another body. You say, preacher, that's what our church needs. We need the rain of God to fall on us. Well, why don't you come tonight and get around this altar? Maybe ask God to burn up your stuff, what you're depending upon. It's keeping you from getting to Him. Ask the rain.